Amen. If you notice Ron's shirt, he's got a really cool shirt on, and he does all our merch. So if you like that, say something to him, and he can get you one. Well, he'll charge you for it. But yeah, he can get you one of those. Those ones aren't free. I went to school. We still have a few of these glow-in-the-dark bands out front. Those are free. I will give those to you. Next week, you will get an invite card that looks just like this. If you'd like one, we would like to give those to you so you'd have something to hand somebody to invite them for Easter. And we're going to believe that next Easter, we'll go back to two services before then, we're hoping. But, you know, by then we might do, you know, we might have two services. We prayed about having two services on this Easter. I just want to pack this out. I want to know how that feels again. You know, it's been a while. We packed it out during some of our concerts and different things like that. So anyway, that's there for you. These are out there by the Welcome Center, too. Again, free. And just, if you would, just take one, stick it in your yard. You plan on attending here. Stick it in your yard if you don't plan on attending here. Just letting you know that they're there, and we are so glad. How many are happy about the authority Christ gave you and that he is more than a conqueror in you and you over the enemy? How many knows that? That is awesome. We've been talking about the believer's authority, and this is actually week 8. I do have a special message for Palm Sunday and one for Easter, and I'm excited to speak on those. And so it's going to be a good time. Just learn. I love learning, because when you put the word to work, the word works. It's just that simple. I mean, if we use the word, it works. His word never comes back void. And but, you know, we have to do it. Isn't that the thing? Just walking it out. Just doing it. So let me tell you, if you haven't had a chance to look, well, guys have not looked in the ladies' restroom. That's all been remodeled. So they haven't seen it, most guys, unless we're, you know, we're going in, is anybody in here? That kind of thing, if you know, before church starts. The men's restroom has got completed. So if, you know, on your way out, fellas, if you haven't been in there, glance in there. Great job. Looks fantastic, phenomenal. As my dad would say, fantastic. It looks just fantastic. But to John and Jack for taking great care of the church, I know the Lord will bless them. Such great, great servants of the Lord. So anyway, what we're doing now, as you know, you're like, okay, well, what? Well, that's all paid for. We raised that, remember, and we paid for that. So that's all done. Well, you know, so what we're going to do now, and this is where we're at. So everybody say, this is where we're at. I'm glad you said that. So I'll go ahead and review real quick. We went and met with the architect and the contractor. And we originally had a couple different building plans, and we as a church are about $7,000 in. Architects don't come for free. And, you know, they went to school for a reason, and they bring a lot to the table. I'm very thankful for Tom Gleespen, who was got engineering school and all that, and basically he kind of led the way and helped us, you know, so we knew what we were doing. So anyway, we met with them, and we had another meeting and found out that the cost of what we originally thought was going to be 3 times higher. We were kind of, in that meeting, I sat there kind of like a homeschooler at the mall. You know, I just like, oh my goodness, 3 times higher. And so it got us to talking while we were in that meeting, and the architect said, remember in the beginning we talked about just doing something a lot simpler? So to make a long story short, we're going to go with that plan. We're going to redo the front entrance, but make it look really nice. We're still going to have, I think, the 2 side doors instead of the double doors in the front, but we're going to build it so it looks nice and going to have a canopy of, you know, or a covering on both sides, I think. Tom can correct me if I'm wrong, so, you know, handicapped people can come up and everybody can kind of get out of the rain if you're heading towards it, because there's nothing to protect you once you get up by that door, but for a fraction of the cost of what we were saying before, but it will look brand new, and it will be nice, and which it'll also open up our foyer quite a bit. We'll take out some of those walls that you see when you come in. Those will be gone, and so there'll be a lot of changes, that's what's going to be happening. We're waiting on the architect to give us the drawing back of what that looks like, and then, you know, we'll get a colored rendition and put it on the vision board. So, you know, today when it's time for offering, if you're like, okay, what are we saving for now? That's what we're saving for. I don't know the cost. I can tell you we are just guessing. It could be under $100,000. It could be over $100,000, but it's not going to be $300,000. Thank you, Jesus. But Here's the other thing. I want you, everybody, look at me. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I do not want to go in debt for it. And Kim and I will lead the way in giving. We'll do everything we can, but we want to raise the money and do that. We just want, because we don't need, we've already paid off. We had two mortgages when we bought this building. We paid one off. We have one left. And all of what you see around you is totally paid for. We don't owe anything other than the one mortgage. And we've paid some of that down. We haven't paid that off yet, but that will be our goal. The new entryway is precedent because the doors are not in good shape. One door is cracked. And I probably shouldn't be saying that if anybody's out there going, but anyways. So we just want to, make everything safe and make everything good. And then we'll just, we'll pay the building off. And from that, we'll figure out Kids Town, the parking lot, all of that stuff will get in there. But we're just doing what we can do and what we feel we need to do right now. That's number one. We want to follow the Lord. Say amen to that. So we'll do that together. And here's the thing. Don't feel pressure about, but I can't give. You don't have to give like everybody else. You have to just do what the Lord tells you to do. That's it. That's it. We put a lot of pressure on people. Oh, you got to. No, you do what God tells you. There's been times that God has told us, give, and it hurt. It was painful giving. I mean, because in my natural mind, I was like, no. But then he always supplied. He always blessed. He always did that. And then there's other times that I didn't feel like I was supposed to give painfully, but I was supposed to give. And this was the amount that we settled on, and we agreed on it, and he did that. And then, it just, whatever the Lord, does that make sense? I hope that you don't feel manipulated, you don't feel pressured, and you might say, well, I'm not going to give at all. I hope you don't feel manipulated. If you don't feel to give, then, that's between you and God. Let me tell you how I run, if we run a giving campaign, I will not call you. Did I say that? I will not call you and say, you've missed a, we don't do that. That is, your giving is between you and God. I think it's a hard issue. I think that's good that we need to give, but it's not my business to tell you what God told you. Make sense? Are we good? Okay. Are you ready? We're going into week 8. This is going to be good. I didn't learn a lot of this stuff in any denomination. How many knows life teaches you a lot of things? What happens if we don't understand something, sometimes we just grasp for straws. And when we were growing, I don't know if anybody still play the game Spoons? I love watching my wife play. She's extremely competitive. I've seen her go clear across the table. She's only, like 5 foot weight. I got a leg that weighs what she weighs, so she can sail. But she, Spoons is whoever, and there's those people that are tricky. They lay their cards down and then just slowly grab a spoon. And then somebody goes, oh! That's what happens when we get all nervous or anxious. And the Bible says to be anxious about nothing. And we start grabbing it. Oh, God! Oh, God! And that's what happens to us. Then we grab sometimes wrong things or wrong teachings or whatever. And we find ourselves in a mix or in a fix, not a mix. Well, I don't know. We find ourselves saying this, and this is what we've talked about. That God can do anything he wants. He's God. He could heal this person. He could save this marriage. He could save this person. And yes, he is God. But none of these things are true. God can't do anything he wanted, because if he could, everybody would be saved. And everybody isn't saved. Everybody would be healed, and everybody isn't healed. He delegated his power and authority to his kids. And if we don't use it, it don't get done. If we don't do what he's told us to do and walk in that authority and walk it out, it doesn't get done. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you don't resist the devil, he does not leave voluntarily. If you don't resist him, God can't resist him. Listen how quiet that is. Because we're just like, this is what we do. And I grew up doing this. So it's a mindset change. I tell God about my mountain instead of telling my mountain about my God. I'll use my voice as my wife said, I digress. Anybody watch Hee Haw growing up? Gloom, despair, agony on me. Oh, They used to sing that deep, dark depression, excessive misery. You're missing your cues. If I weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, you know. We grew up, we just have to rehearse and we say all of this. And what we're doing is we're just giving life to the very mountain that is in front of us. And we wonder why it doesn't go away. And we're telling God about, why don't you do this? And God is like, I want to do this, but I need you to do it. If we don't understand power and authority, what we do is then we let in false teaching. We let the enemy come in. And I mean, there's just so many things that people can get just crazy about. We established all authority comes from God and released it to Adam in Genesis 1. And they had dominion over everything. Adam and Eve did. We've read that scripture. And God is limited to what he can do because he delegated that to Adam. Psalm 78:41, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I don't think God intended for the Israelites to spend 40 years in the wilderness because they just didn't do what he told them to do. Have you ever had your parents say, unless you clean your, well, you might not have, but this is my life. Unless you clean that room, you are not going to get ice cream or whatever we were going to go do. This is when I was little. And I would just stand up there and sit in my room and almost expect like it's going to be Mary Poppins. The job's a game. There was no game involved. And it didn't get clean on its own. I think, you know, if I would have put my hand to it, then I figured out, because a couple times I didn't get ice cream or whatever they were going to do. And then I figured out all I had to do was put my hand to it and do what I was asked, and I got ice cream. What happened to the Israelites, they didn't do what they were told. They claimed the giants were bigger than they were, so they stopped God's will from heading forward. They already decided, we're grasshoppers. That's what they said, and that's the way we think too. So saying what God does, whatever God wants is going to happen. Well, if it's God's will, he can do anything. He can heal that if he wants to. It's already in his book. He wants to. But it's not true to just say that's God's fault. He delegated that authority. He gave power and authority to heal and cast out demons and to raise the dead. He gave that to us. His body, his kids, his believers. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Growing up in church, I used to hear that God can do exceedingly above all that we could ask or think. And that's true. That's in there. But there's another part, according to the power that works in us. If there isn't any power, we're not really submitted to God and things aren't happening. And we have to use our faith. Faith is voice activated. Unbelief is voice activated. So we have to talk, not just the walk, but we also have to walk it. But we have to speak what the Lord says. God's not going to do it for you. This is what he's going to do. He's going to do it through you. Isn't that amazing? He won't do it for you. He'll do it through you. I always used to think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like, wouldn't it have been cool if every time they heated that furnace, God would go, and it just would go out? I mean, I thought, wouldn't that be a good testament? But no, they had to go in into the fiery furnace, and they see three of them walking around, not bound up, and they see four then, one more. It's like the Son of God. So he could, I mean, if we go by the old theology, he could do any of it. Then he could have stopped them from ever getting thrown in. But he didn't do that. He went through them. There's so much of God in you, if you're a believer, that there's so much that he wants to do, and he's waiting on you. We also know this, that Satan didn't get his power from God. He got it from Adam and Eve, from mankind. He took the authority God gave them over this earth, and that's how he is the God of this world. Adam and Eve were created to be the God of this world. Remember in the scripture I gave you last week, God said something about it with a little g, not a big G, but gods of this world. So Jesus even validated it. But when Adam and Eve yielded to the enemy, they made Satan the God of this world. So Satan got his foot in the door from mankind. So God created Lucifer to minister to Adam and Eve. Now listen to this. Adam and Eve created Satan. Think about what I just said. If you're giving him access, if you are yielding to him, you are empowering him to work in your life. That's why your mountain is not going away, if that could be the case. We found out that he was sent there to serve Adam and Eve, and it was there in the garden that he went AWOL. Absent without leave. Well, he jumped ship. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation? He was there in the garden to serve them, but then he rebelled, and Adam and Eve bought the lie. Romans 6:16, do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. When they believed the enemy, they went with him. They gave that authority that God gave them to the enemy. So that's how they made him have that power. So God made Lucifer, Adam and Eve, and mankind made Satan. He doesn't have a way in unless you give him one. Because Jesus came and took the keys back. So Jesus rectified all of that. But if the only way Satan has access or can use anything, you have to give him room. Revelation 12:1 through 4 says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. Another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 diadems of his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them into the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour the child as soon as it was born. This is an allegory. So this is just representing things. So like in that night and birth, it implies the dragon is Satan. And this is where people get the one-third of, you know, the angel. This is where a lot of this stuff comes from. This is the scripture that talks about that. So I get it. I mean, I understand. If it's in the scripture, we understand. But again, you got to remember, this is an allegory. So let's just say this. If the enemy did get one-third of the angels, that means two-thirds are left. The odds are still in God. And let's just say this. If the enemy took all the angels, God doesn't lose. He doesn't, you know what I'm saying? He is himself complete. It's not like, you know, hey, God needs the brute squad to come and help him out. He doesn't need a bouncer. God is the bouncer. Oh, that's stupid. I don't know. That probably doesn't sound right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, God doesn't need help. He's complete. He doesn't lose. Now, I will say that Satan is stupid. He's just not ignorant or dumb. He's stupid because he continues to try to get those that want to follow God. He comes after the word. So he's not ignorant or dumb, but he already knows the outcome. So that's why I'm saying that's stupid. He already knows his final destiny. He already knows all that. But if he can stop you from getting what God has for you or to be the light in a dark place, some of you are the only light that some people will see. Satan is jealous. He's envious. He wanted God's glory. I think just like he feels he's better than anybody, because remember he had those 5 eyes, we read that last week. He's better than you, he's better than me, he's more important. He should have what they have. It's not fair. I don't know what he all says, but he's jealous. God gave it to him with no strings. To me, that's really important. God gave it, to Adam and Eve, not to the enemy, with no strings. That's really important that we understand no strings. Have you ever given a gift or somebody given you a gift and there's strings? Do you know what that is? Those are no fun gifts, are they? Here, I'm going to give this to you. One hand washes the other. They want something in return, or there's a string with that. If you don't do what they want with that, they're upset. We have had to learn, and I've had that problem before. I've given things away and then found out, you know, whatever story I got, that wasn't really the real story, and they, whatever. Or at least I didn't know the whole story. And this is what the Lord said. Did you give it? Yeah. Then it's not yours. That's pretty plain. So there's no reason for me to get mad. There's no reason to have strings. That's why I love, if you're going to give something, just give it. Just be done with it. Don't have strings. See, God can't do anything. He can't be a liar. If he came and broke his word, the whole universe would fall apart. He can't come in and take it back when he gave the authority. Jesus took it back, and Jesus delegated it to us. God can't come and go, okay, I'm changing everything now. Hebrews says he doesn't change. 13:8 of Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I love Westerns. Most of you know that. I love John Wayne. That's my cowboy guy. But have you ever watched Westerns when you know how many bullets their gun has and you're just watching and you're thinking, they have shot more than 6 times? Pretty sure that's what, about 25? I've never seen them reload. You know, and sometimes I'm like, oh, man. You know, it's always, to me, it was always refreshing when after 6 shots, at least you see the guy around the tree going, okay, this is realistic. Anyways, if someone comes in, let's just say, you know, in any police situation, you know, there's former cops in here. My dad's a former cop. If the guy goes in to rob the bank and he shoots and he has a normal, not a gun that has a clip, that has a lot of bullets, but let's just say we're going Western style. He doesn't come in on a horse, but he has a pistol. And he shoots 5 shots. How many has he got left? He's got 1 left. And if the police, and they do, they, you know, let's just say my dad would probably count, he's only got 1 shot left. So they're thinking they could overtake. So how does he get out? He takes a what? He takes a hostage. And so then the police now value more than the bank the hostage. Brett, what are you telling me? I'm telling you, the enemy will take you hostage. He'll try, he might not have many shots left, but if he can get you to believe anything, he'll take you hostage. That's where the real value is, and he'll hold you at bay, or what is important to you, he'll try to take that. Because the enemy, he can't go past what you allow him. See, that's almost, it's quiet because it's like, oh. You see, he couldn't force Adam and Eve, so he had to deceive them. He got them to disobey. So that's how he became Satan. They gave him power and authority. They became hostage to that situation. Sometimes we yield to situations, and then to get out of it, he wants to try to blackmail you. Did God say? Is that what he said? Do you think he really meant that? Come on. If God is so loving, there's all kinds of things that he'll try. You see, but God can't intervene. He expects you to look at his word. That's your answer. And that's how you fight. That's how Jesus did. It is written. It is written. You know, Kim and I have found out a lot of, you know, when stuff comes against you, you know what the enemy hates? We talked about it already. Praise. Because he was the praise. And he hates that. He wants you to cry. Like eating oatmeal with a gas pump. I mean, he wants you to be upset. Just, oh, gloom, despair, agony on me. But hey, I'm telling you what. I might not like what maybe is coming at my way or whatever. Sometimes you maybe didn't do anything. Somebody else did something. but you are related or associated or whatever, you stand on the word of God and let God do your defending for you. Let him be the one. I love the fact that when the armies of Israel are sitting here cowering in fear, a little boy like David comes out and says, I'll do it. I love that. Because he decides, I'm not going to stand on the fear. I'm going to stand on the Lord. I'm going to stand on what God stands for. And so he does that, and you know the rest of the story. David knew how to get ahead. He cut off Goliath. Just keeping you active here and happy. God won't violate his word. John 4:24, he is spirit, and those who worship in spirit and truth. So God gave authority to physical human beings. Lucifer didn't have, he's a spirit, he didn't have a physical body, so he has to use something else because he's a spirit. He has to flow through people. Remember we talked about legion, which in Roman technology could be 5,000 to 6,000 demons, and Jesus cast them in the pigs. You know why? Because they have to have somewhere. The demons have to have a physical body to have any sort of power. So anything with a physical body has more authority than a demon. Think about that. Frog, a pig, a fly, a mosquito. Mosquitoes kind of are demonic, but okay. But he is a spirit, Satan is, and he can't do anything except through people. Angels are ministering spirits. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who inherit salvation? So the spiritual realm needs the physical realm. That's how it manifests in this. It comes from the spiritual, comes into the physical. It comes through, you know, if it's godly and you're a believer, that's how things happen. When you lay hands on the sick, they recover. Why? Because it happened in the spiritual, used you as a channel, came through because you were obedient to the Lord. Now, I know that sounds like that's weird and all of that, but that's just as simple as it can be. You are basically the jumper cables for God. You're going to latch hands on, you know, my kids. Daddy, would you pray for us? Well, Daddy doesn't have anything, but he has Jesus. It's kind of like, can you see this? Silver and gold, I don't have, but what I have, I'm going to give it to you. So when you believe that God in his word says, you are to cast out devils, you are to heal the sick, you pray for them, they will recover, then God is saying, I can use that. I can flow through that. See, the enemy can only be the god of this world. He fights you in that natural realm, the five sense realm. You're not feeling this. You're still this. You're still that. You're going to have to come against that. You might have to praise. You might have to lay hands on yourself. God uses people. Ephesians 3:20, now him too is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Again, we've read it. According to the power that works in us. Satan flows through people. God flows through people. People are influenced by God. People are influenced by the enemy. There's a lot of influence out there, especially for the enemy. The enemy can't do anything to you without your consent or cooperation. You need to understand that. I said this earlier, so I'm just trying to tie all this together. Like in the Israelites said, they look at us, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. That's what they think, that's what we think too. You can look at that account. But we perceive ourselves as nobody. Not capable, not equipped. Unless God does something, what are we going to do? He's already done it. And the enemy wants you to believe that you have to jump through 75 hoops before anything could happen. It's stuff that you have to do. Well, That's self-righteousness. That's Jesus already did it, y'all. He already went to the cross. He's not going back. But we perceive ourselves as, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I can tell you, the enemy is playing you. Don't buy it. It's a deception and a lie. I mean, I'm trying to be just as simple as I can and make this as, there's been times that we have prayed. You know, there's something about a mother that's amazing. Just amazing. My wife just amazes me. You know, like when the kids were little and they would have a fever or something, you know, we'd pray for them, sure. And then, you know, I just go on about, because in my mind, I mean, I wish it was more then like it is now, but I think in my mind, I thought, okay, we pray. I did what I was supposed to do. That's kind of a self-righteous, needs some humility attitude in a way, you know what I'm saying. But she would still be in there. They'd be asleep, and she'd be brushing their brow, saying things. And then I'd find, I remember the first time I walked by the room, and I'm like, I hear something. She had put a, back when, remember when cassettes? Yeah, I remember 8-tracks. So I'm just saying. But cassettes, she'd have a cassette tape in there, and then we moved to CDs. That was like a breakthrough. But there would be, she'd have praise and worship songs that were on CD or cassette. And she would put it in the room, and she'd put it in just a space and just play it consistently. It would just play. And I was like, oh, I can hear that. You know why she was doing that? Because there's something about praise. There's something about filling the atmosphere. Come on. Have you ever been somewhere where you see rain coming? And it's just like a wall coming, or it's raining over here, but it's not raining here. Why is it raining there and not raining here? Obviously, the atmosphere over there, something's changed because the rain's raining. Rain's raining. Over here, the rain's not raining. What is that? It is something that she, you know, she tapped into. Sometimes she taught me, she tapped into stuff that she was just following the leading of the Lord. She didn't really understand, except, come on, my God, he supplies all my need. The peace of God will lead me. This is what I'm going to do. Did she know everything? No, she is like Peter, I'm getting out of the boat. You don't know how to walk on water till you get out of the boat. And the whole room, which every time I'd walk in that room, I'd be like, wow, it feels good in here. Have you ever been to somebody's house and you go in and you're like, man, this feels good? That's happened to us. And people have said that's happened when they come to our house. Why? Because God's there. Half the time we think all demons are in a third world country somewhere. They're never here. And there are other people that are so demon conscious you can't do anything. They're here, I get it. But you don't need to be afraid. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't give the enemy that much attention. Don't give him that much credit. You are the one with the power and authority if the truth be known. If you're a believer in Christ. I've seen a lot of different things. We were just on staff, and we used to go around before we were pastoring, and I would sing and Kim would sing. She could sing anything Sandy Patty could sing. Some of you don't know who Sandy Patty is. But man, that girl could sing and hit those high A's. Kim could do all that. Sound just like her. And I was the guy that sounded like Carmen. So I got to be booked at all different kinds of churches, big churches, small churches, as the guy that sounds like Carmen. They didn't know who I was. I was just the guy that sounds like Carmen. I remember being at a church, and there's youth there, and they're like, he's here, he's here. And the one teen goes, who? And they said, the guy that sounds like Carmen. I might as well just, my name is Wilbur. You know, I don't know. I mean, they didn't know who I was. But God opened up doors with that. What I'm saying is, we got on staff, and because of that past history, they asked me to do a mini concert on a Sunday night. And so I had all these Carmen CDs, and we lived in the parsonage. And so I went next door, and I was practicing because I had the order of what I was going to do. And I remember being up in the balcony, and I remember looking down, and that was the sound was up in the balcony. So to operate it, cassettes, again. The cassette was up there, so I had a wireless mic like you saw Ron have today, handheld mic, and I was just singing from the balcony because I got tired of running down the steps, going on the platform, singing, running up the steps, and, you know, I'm like, this is dumb, so I'll just stay up there and sing because I'm just practicing for myself anyway. Now, this is as true as I can tell you. I remember looking up there. Have you ever been somewhere and you see something move and you thought, I just saw something move? I'm the only one in the church. It's 10:30 at night. There's a monster in there. But, I mean, I saw something move. And I was looking over here, and something went like that. And I looked over, and I'm like, and behind, well, see this thing here? This is a bass something. If you want the thumper, that's the thumper. Okay, but there was something like that. But that was back then. We had these monitors that were up on the platform. But it was about that size, and something was behind it. And it was just like this. And it was little, and it was bobbing and weaving, and it was black. And I remember getting scared. I mean, like, I need to change scared. I mean, it just like hit me like a hurricane wall. I mean, I saw that and I was like, and I remember looking like, there is something there. And then it was just moving and weaving. And I remember being so afraid. And in my mind, now I don't know if it was inaudible, but in my mind, this is the word that I heard. Run! That's what I heard in my mind. Get out! That's why I say get out all the time now. But that's what I heard. And I remember thinking, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And I mean, I was just sitting here. You ever have that time, they call it flight or fight, where you're either going to fight or you're going to run. And I was just thinking, I was thinking, I'm going to run. But then I thought, I don't want to run. And then I heard the Lord say to me, and this is just as calm as he said it. It's almost like you're sitting there eating a cookie or something. He goes, it's just the enemy. Rebuke him and he'll go. That was it. That's all he said. And I was like, and so he's still down there bobbing and weaving. And inside, now listen to me, I'm still going. And so, but I thought this boldness came in there because listen, it's voice activated. So, I mean, worst comes to push comes to shove. If I say something and doesn't happen, I can still run at least, you know. So, but I pointed my finger and I'm up in the balcony and I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, enemy, and you get out of this place in Jesus' name. And that thing went like a wisp, whoosh, it was gone, like that. Just gone. Now, inside, I still was like, that's great, get out. I want to still go. But I thought, I'm not going to do it. I came over here to practice. We'd put the kids down. Kim and I, you know, we talked about our day and all that. And so I said, I need to go over that song list. And so I'm like, I'm not doing it. So here's what I did. I stayed 45 more minutes singing and praising and practicing on purpose. Man, that place was filled with the presence of God. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, you need to take charge of whose you are. Everybody just doesn't have the Spirit of God because they don't all ask for it. I mean, yeah, he gave you life. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, to be saved, you have to ask. You have to believe. You have to say, Jesus, come into my heart. You have to choose. You don't just automatically go to heaven without a choice. If you don't choose God, you don't go to heaven. That's as simple as that is. But when you choose, you don't have to be perfect. I wasn't perfect. I'm still not perfect. But because the greater one in me is perfect, that's what I'm going to work with. That's what I'm going to yield to. I never saw that thing again. You see, the enemy knows very clearly who's in charge. He knows very well what authority you have. That's why he lies. I worked at Honda for 7 years while I was going to school and getting ready to do what I do now. And I prayed for a lot of people at Honda. I mean, if you've ever worked in the assembly line, that's fun. Not really. But, you know, it's work. But I prayed for people. I led different people to Jesus. I prayed for people. God healed them right on the spot. All kinds of things. It was wonderful. And you know, but some of that, now listen, had leaked out, which is okay with me. But they said, hey, there's a head Satanist. This is a true story. There's a head Satanist, and he's heard about you. I'm like, he's heard about me. Yeah, he's heard about you, and he doesn't like you. Well, that's no shocker, you know. So I go into the cafeteria, and somebody said, there he is. Now, there's this guy sitting over across the cafeteria. Doesn't mean if this is no... If you shave your head or you're bald, it's all good. Okay, his head was shaved. It doesn't mean you're a Satanist. Just saying. Don't anybody take that wrong. I wish I had my head. I mean, there's people that have good-looking heads. Telly Savalas, Yul Brynner, you know, in the movies, there's people in here. Rod, Jeff Milgay. I mean, Jack. Look at Jack. Jack's sitting there. I wish my head looked as, I mean, they look good with their, you know. Anyways, so this isn't a crack about, but I mean, this guy hadn't, he had a tattoo. So this isn't a crack about tattoos either. Okay, I don't care if you have a tattoo. I'd like to get a tattoo, and I'd probably put my wife's name on it. Get it on my arm. Kim. I keep telling her I'm going to do that, but I have not done it yet. But I might surprise her one day. Anyway, I probably get wonderful mail about that. Oh, who cares? Anyway, so I just sat there, and I had my lunch tray, and I went and sat at my table, and this is what I heard the Lord say to me. You just going to sit there? And I was like, well, that was my plan. So then it just stirred up in me, so I just put left my tray, walked over. He's sitting facing me, like this would be the table. He'd be facing, and there all of whatever his fans are sitting beside him, and he's sitting there, and the closer I'm getting, now we've locked eyes. And so now he's just staring at me. So my wife says, you're just a redneck. But I wasn't. I was just being a godneck. So I just walked up, and this is what I did. I put my hands on the table, and I just leaned into his face. And I said, Jesus. And he went, ah! Like that. He got up and left. I never saw him again. I don't know whatever happened to him. I don't know. Nobody ever said, he's mad at you. I didn't hear anything. He just disappeared. I never saw him again. I remember him rearing back and growling. And all those guys got up from the table. Everybody left. Why? Because I enforced what I have. Now, if God would not have said for me to go over there, maybe it would have been not a good idea. I don't know. But he's is that what you're going to do? So, letting God be in you to the point where, you know, you've asked him to come in, but you're actually going to use him. Have you ever met guys that have all kinds of tools and don't use any of them? What do you have? Well, in case I ever need that, I'm going to use that whatchamajigget. Well, what if God gave you a whatchamajigget? Oh, that probably didn't come out right. But if God gives you something to use, use it. Speak about it and say, God, you know, if God told you to go over and talk to him, I'm just going to go over. And that's what I felt to say. What am I going to say? How's your day going? I just felt like I'm going to say what the thing is that we're not in agreement on, Jesus. And that's, you know, it's just like water and oil. He was done. We are not supposed to be afraid of the enemy. He is afraid of you. Don't give the enemy that kind of credit. He wants you to be afraid. God doesn't want you to be. That is the spirit, and that's not God's spirit. Remember, the enemy can't do anything to you without your consent or cooperation. So if you're getting what I'm trying to tell you, this is a game changer. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You got to understand, Jesus already won the battle. He already did everything that he's going to do. You have everything you need to fight the mountain or the enemy in front of you. The enemy is pretty much all mouth. He's the bully that just won't shut up. But you have been given power and authority. So you can operate with boldness. You can operate with confidence. You guys put on some... Yeah, you guys are already on the ball. I've seen God do so many wonderful things, so many wonderful healing things, so many wonderful delivering things. Because he has dominion. If you'll allow it, if you'll speak it. I mean, there's been times I've been there, and in the natural, I'm like, God, I don't even know. But I know you. And I know what your word says. And if your word says that they behold, then that's what you want. So would I line up with? I'm not going to line up with what they say. Now listen to what I'm saying. That's not heartless. I'm just saying I'm going to line up with what he says. Sometimes we have to align ourselves up with what he says, because we don't always say what he says. We have to, I don't know, for whatever reason, sometimes we walk through something and go, now I see it, but I couldn't see it before. Where are you at this morning? Are there things that you're just like, man, I've had people say, I don't want to speak out. If I speak out against it, it'll make the enemy mad and he'll come at me worse. That's a lie. Will he come at you worse? Oh, he'll try. You're the one that decides if it's worse. Think about what I just said. If you let it phase you, it will phase you. Kim and I we're talking all this week about casting our care. I need sometimes some help with that. Sometimes we want to voice everything in our flesh because it feels so good for a second. Then the second's over. I want you all to be well. Not just physically, but I mean financially. I'm not talking about just money. I'm just talking about joy and peace. I know one time Maddie she was little. And I told you this story, but I'll just condense it really quick. Nothing was happening. We had thought we did everything, crossed our T's, dotted our I's, we were trying to do what we believed. And I felt the Lord tell me, go get her and hold her. And so I did. I went and got her. And I remember in our bathroom, I laid on the floor and I put Maddie on top of me. Again, much smaller in that year and age. She was just, I forget, how old was she? Just in her teens, I think. And I just held her there. And this is going to sound, we can sound however you want it to sound, but this is what happened. It just felt like what God was doing in me was like a sponge was going in her. And she just started getting better. The longer I held her, the better she got. Now, my point is this. I didn't think of that on my own. But he put that idea in there. And here's how you know if it's an idea from God. If it ever goes against the word, it's not God. If it doesn't do anything, if it's just slightly off, that's not God. It has to agree with the word. But the Bible says you'll be led by peace. So it agreed with the word, and it seemed like, well, God, why would I have to do that? Why would Naaman have to go and say, why do I got to dip 7 times? Why can't I just dip once? I mean, you can have all those questions. I'm not going to question if I'm standing under something I don't understand. I'm just going to believe. If you say seven times, seven it is. If you say hold her, that's what I'll do. So I held her. That's when you get out of the boat. That's the point that now your faith, that works of, I just believe you, God, it's active. And that's when miracles happen. Wasn't long ago that Kim came in and said, honey, I need my back, something in my lower back. Would you, I just feel like you're supposed to hold me. I was like, I'm all for that. Okay, let me hold you. And so we just stood in the kitchen. I held her for like 3 minutes. Her back got better, just like that. Why? You cannot get better than the Word of God. Now, sometimes that word is a rhema word. Now, the difference between a logos is like the written word. That's the Bible. The rhema word is something that God would speak to your spirit, like, go hold Maddie. Go hold Kim. Walk around that seven times. Take oil and do this. Anoint them. Do that. Speak against that. That's a rhema word. Some of us, I'm not doing that. That's why you haven't seen the result. He's wanting you to get out of the boat. Do you believe him enough? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father,